warning is truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. It's another day without Bob. It's like another day without sunshine, but I am sitting in guest host Doug McBurney from the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank Bob for letting me sit in for another day. And worry not, Bob will be back on Thursday for Theology Thursday. And of course, the big Friday show, Real Science Radio, Bob will be back. But for today, you've got me once again, and I want to thank you for tuning in. And I just appreciate being able to be here. Have I already said that? Let's move on into the show. A quick hit. This is a story that I'm certain Bob would do were he here. This is from CNN. This is from the See the System Work file. The hanging body of Ohio murderer Billy Slagle was discovered in his cell at the Chillicothe Correctional Institution there in Ohio just after 5 a.m. this Sunday past. The funny thing is, he was on death row. And he was to be put to death today. He was to be put to death today. But of course, there would be some uncertainty around that. Given the modern justice system, there's no guarantee that murderer Billy Slagle would have actually been put to death today. And let me tell you a little bit about murderer Billy Slagle. He had been on death row since 1988. How long ago is that? Is that more than 20 years ago? That's 25 years ago. He had been on death row for 25 years, languishing there. And finally, I guess Governor John Kasich had denied his request. Well, he had requested, I guess, not to be put to death, I'm sure. As a matter of fact, the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office had recommended that Slagle's sentence be reduced to life in prison without parole, but John Kasich said no. He gave him the thumbs down. And Slagle was scheduled to be put to death today. Now, Mr. Slagle had a history of drug and alcohol abuse. His entire family had a history of drug and alcohol abuse. His lawyers say that he spent his teenage years largely unsupervised by any adult. And when he was 18 years of age, he stabbed Marie Ann Pope 17 times with a pair of scissors while her children were in the home. Murdered her with a pair of scissors in her home at the age of 18 and was scheduled to be put to death today. But his body was found hanging in his cell in solitary confinement this Sunday past. See? The system works. Every once in a while, just by random chance. By the way, prison officials have launched an investigation into how he died. The investigation will start with interviewing the people who cut his body down. That's where the investigation will start. But see, the system does work upon occasion, but a lot of times it takes a self-starter like murderer Billy Slagle to get the system to work. And we just want to, I just want to express gratitude that Billy Slagle has finally been introduced to Jesus Christ, because that's what he always needed. And now that has been arranged by his own hand, because the state of Ohio, well, for 25 years, they couldn't figure out what to do with him. All right. Now let's move on, folks. Personhood in Colorado, the Brady Project is in the home stretch. So I want you all to go to avoiceforbrady.com, get a petition. If you have a petition, you can check the calendar at avoiceforbrady.com. You can find out about events all over the metro area, all over the state of Colorado, where you can go and gather signatures for personhood, stand up and be an advocate for the innocent who cannot speak for themselves. We could definitely use your help. We're closing in, well, the final stretch here, and someone at a church I was at this past weekend, well, they asked me, how many signatures do you need? And I said, well, we need many, 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 many thousands more than we have right now. But thank you very much for your signature, because what I really wanted today was your signature, because I wanted to encourage you to know that there are still people out there who care about the innocent and who want to see the law changed so that the laws against criminal acts like murder and assault can be equally applied to unborn human beings as they are to people like you and I. Because the unborn don't have a voice. They're not able to speak for themselves, so they need an advocate. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm just being an advocate and giving you an opportunity to speak up. I tell you what, folks, it's very encouraging to go out there amongst the masses and see the light in someone's eyes when they realize that not only is there someone else out there who cares about protecting the innocent, but they have an opportunity to lend their voice. So please go on the web to avoiceforbrady.com. Get your petition. Find out on the calendar where you can go. That's avoiceforbrady.com. I've got this. If you're not familiar with the story of Brady Surovic, July 2012, Heather, his mom, was 8 months pregnant with Brady when a repeat drunk driver slammed into her car. She was injured but survived, but her unborn son Brady did not. But because Colorado law does not recognize Brady as a person, there was no prosecution for his death. Brady weighed 8 pounds and 2 ounces at the time he was killed. Now, Democrats and Republicans, frankly, along with Planned Parenthood and other child-killing advocates, now they have pushed through this Crimes Against Pregnant Women Act. I had an interesting encounter with a Republican woman at an event last week. I was getting signatures for personhood, and she told her friend, she said, "Oh, you don't have to sign that. We already passed that." And I said, no, you didn't already pass this. This is personhood. What you passed was a big fat sham, and you're lying." Well, the conversation went downhill from there. She was not very happy, but I did challenge her. I said, if the Crimes Against Pregnant Women Act was endorsed by Planned Parenthood, how good could it really be? Please. And her friend did sign my petition, because I told her my petition acknowledges that life begins at conception and that every innocent person has an unalienable right to life from the moment they begin. And Planned Parenthood will not endorse my petition. So I was able to get the signature and rebuke a pro-abort Republican woman. So a good time was had by all. Anyway, we're collecting signatures right now, folks. We need over 86,000 valid signatures, which means we got to get out there and get like 120,000. So we could use your help. If you haven't gone out, just go out and get one. And then if you want to double your impact, get another one. And then if you want to increase your impact exponentially, go get 10 or 20 or 50. Or my goal is at least 1,000, at least. And I'm almost there, by the way. We're almost to 1,000 over at the McBurney compound. So I want to encourage everyone, avoiceforbrady.com, and lend your voice to the voiceless, those who truly do need an advocate, those who are in the most vulnerable position, completely defenseless and voiceless, whose lives are sought every day by greedy humanists who are bloodthirsty killers. So please help us stand up. And go to avoiceforbrady.com. All right. Now, we have some other news. Unless there's someone in the peanut gallery who has something they want to contribute. No? All right. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm a trained professional. I came prepared. I want to go over to the Middle East. And I want to start with a story about Christian persecution. I saw this last week and I hadn't had a chance to get to it. What has happened in the Middle East since the dawn of the Arab Spring has been well covered in the news media, in the mainstream media. All the talk shows, they talk about it all the time. Mostly they say Obama did this and he messed this up and he's not doing a good job. Or the liberals get on and they say he did the best he could in democracy now and everything's going to work out. But what you might not have heard about is the massive increase of Christian persecution throughout the Middle East since the dawn of the Arab Spring, and since Barry Ho and his administration has basically abandoned anyone who was ever our friend in the Middle East. Anyone who was ever even our nominal ally in the Middle East has been thrown overboard. Israel's been insulted and snubbed. And who bears the brunt of the hatred and violence in the Middle East? It's the Christians. I've got a story from Jerusalem, as reported by CBN. From the west coast of Africa to the deserts of Sinai, Bedouin tribes are conducting human trafficking trade on a massive scale. And CBN reports that it could be stopped, but so far no one has dared. It probably could only be stopped by the Western powers allied to go in and stop it. But the Western powers have squandered all the moral capital our forefathers gave us over the course of the last 500 years or so. And we're completely impotent to stop what's happening in the Sinai. I've got a story about a Christian man from the African country of Eritrea. The reporter calls his name Philip. They have to hide his identity, obviously. But he says, quote, "In some cases, we've been tortured simply because we were Christians," unquote. Now, Sinai, according to the article, has always been a place for human smuggling. I think it goes all the way back to Joseph, right? All the way back to biblical times. But the increase in human smuggling has been dramatic over the past 2 years. And it started, the Sinai now is not only a place of human trafficking, but it's a place of human torture, according to Shahar Shoham, the director of Physicians for Human Rights. He says he's documented more than 1,300 cases of torture in the Sinai. Those survivors, like Philip, made it to Israel. But most of the cases of torture are never documented. Philip says they torture Christians in horrible methods, hanging them upside down from the ceiling, using electric shocks, burning them on their bodies. And he knows because he was kidnapped by a Bedouin tribe. And he says, while you're talking to your family on the phone, they would pour molten plastic on your body so that you would scream in order to persuade your family to pay the ransom more quickly. He says Christians are being tortured every day. And he says they're tortured to the point where they can't stand up because they torture you on your feet. They burn you on your feet. And every day they hang Christians the same way they hung Jesus Christ. So Christians are being tortured, even crucified in the Middle East, according to this eyewitness who survived being kidnapped by the Bedouins. He estimates that around 7,000 Christians have gone through the torture camps that have been set up throughout the glorious Arab Spring territories. And he estimates that about 4,000 of them have actually been killed. Now, the whereabouts of these torture camps, according to Physicians for Human Rights, these torture camps, they're not in any secret locations. The locations are well known by high officials in Egypt. Yet no one has stepped up to stop what's happening. It's a shame. It's America's great shame that we're completely impotent to protect the Christians who are being tortured by the Muslim fanatic, satanic, bloodthirsty maniacs in the Middle East. And I could have told you it would come to this. I could have told you it would come to this. Because America really is the last great hope for Christianity in the world. And Christianity is, well, it's less than in vogue here in the United States. And so our ability to protect innocent people around the world, well, I don't even know that it exists anymore. How many embassies remain closed right now? America's gone dark in I believe, 22 countries. Because we're so scared of the terrorists that we've shut down 22 embassies and going to keep a bunch of them closed throughout the week because of some amorphous terrorist threat. Now, see, if I was president, that's the way my dad used to start an awful lot of diatribes. Well, if I was president, well, let me tell you, if I was president and there was some credible threat against American embassies throughout the world, I would send 1,000 Marines to every embassy. And I would arm them to the teeth. And I would have drones flying overhead. And I would post on Al-Qaeda's website and say, bring it on, Mohammed. Let's go. Let's party. But that's Barry has shut it down and just gone dark. I think he's hiding underneath the White House somewhere. I think he's ordered everyone in the face of this threat. He's ordered them all to hide. The directive from the president? Cower. Tremble. Be afraid. It's just embarrassing. And of course, for us, for me anyway, it's just embarrassing. But for the Christians who are trying to live their lives in the Middle East, this is apocalyptic, what is happening to them. Because now there is nowhere to turn for help. Well, I guess there still is Israel. I mean, this fellow in the report from CBN, Philip, he made it to Israel and survived to tell this story. So I guess Israel is now the final frontier for freedom in the world. And America is just an also-ran. I mean, we're practically Holland at this point. Yes, we've legalized drugs and everybody's stoned and we have no moral capital. We might as well be Holland. We should put a red cross on our flag. Isn't that what Holland has? They have a red cross on their flag. Anyway, all right. So that's kind of depressing. Do I want to talk more about the Middle East? I think I have one other thing from the Middle East. Let me see here. Ah, yes, here we go. The Palestinians, let's see, their leader, what's his name there? Mahmoud Abbas. He's the Palestinian, what do they call him? Do they call him the president? Yeah, the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas. He said regarding Israel, by the way, Israel is a peaceful nation who has no desire to kill and bomb the children of the Palestinians. Their national policy, unlike the Philistines, the Israeli national policy is not to bomb and burn children and women and hospitals and schools. But apparently Mahmoud Abbas, here's what he says regarding a peace plan with Israel. Were you guys aware that there's a new round of peace talks now led by John Kerry? Yeah, John Kerry's going to be the one. Nobody's been able to make peace in the Middle East since Jacob and Esau, I think. But John Kerry, you can count on him. Johnny on the spot. He's in there. And Mahmoud made a statement regarding Israel. He said, in a final resolution, we, the Philistines, would not see the presence of a single Israeli, civilian, or soldier on our lands. So not even one Israeli. And of course, when he says our lands, he means most of Israel too. He means East Jerusalem. He means the West Bank. He means Gaza. And if at all possible, he means Tel Aviv as well. From Dan to Beersheba is what Abbas is talking about. And he wants it to be Judenrein. No Jews at all. It actually harkens back to the Nazi philosophy. And I don't think that was pointed out in this article, as I found it here in the Weekly Standard. Yeah, no Jews. He says no settlements either. No settlements and no Jews is the only way the Philistines are going to be happy. And then they won't be happy then either. They'll start butchering one another in short order, should they ever manage to get all the Jews out of there. So, oh, by the way, a settlement, just in case you're wondering, I know in America we have a different, because in America, see, what we did was we went out west and then we killed all the Indians and took their land and we settled on it, which was kind of a rotten thing to do. And so in America, we have a whole different concept of what settlement means, because we actually, well, we killed people and we took the land, we appropriated the land that they lived on. But in Israel, in the West Bank, in areas of East Jerusalem, what a settlement is when an Israeli family or company or the government purchases a property and builds an apartment building on it. They call that a settlement. Here, we call that an apartment complex. But there, they call it a settlement. And he says none, not a single settlement anywhere. They're all illegitimate. And the Jews aren't going and killing the Arabs and taking their land and bulldozing it and putting up apartment buildings. They're buying the land. The Arabs are freely selling them the land. And then when the Israelis go to build their apartment complex or their housing subdivisions, well, now it's an illegal settlement. So anyway, I just wanted to make that clear. Now, how does one negotiate in good faith with someone who says, my ultimate goal is your death or your complete removal? It's kind of hard to find common ground with someone like that. But don't worry, folks. John Kerry is on the case. I saw, by the way, I watched this CNN special on Nixon. Has anyone had a chance to see this? You should definitely watch it. I know it's a CNN product. I'm not a big fan of CNN. It's all this home video shot by Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, and all these people who worked for Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon does not come off very well. I can tell you this, Richard Nixon was no friend of Christians. Richard Nixon was no friend of Jews. And there's a devastating video of John Kerry giving a speech at a protest in Washington, D.C., I believe in 1970. It was absolutely shocking to me to watch this video from 1970 and realize that this man is now the Secretary of State. It was shocking. Anyway, I recommend the miniseries to everyone because it reveals that my dad was always right about Richard Nixon. And my dad said Richard Nixon is no friend of conservatives and he's no friend of Christians. And boy, does he come off badly in all these secret recordings. I think Richard Nixon is roasting in hell. I have no doubt in my mind. When you hear how this guy talked when he didn't think anybody was listening, I mean, that guy is roasting in an especially hot corner of hell right now. And John Kerry's not far behind him. The only reason John Kerry's not in hell is because he's still alive. And so I guess there's hope for John Kerry. I suppose there is. But only an almighty God with an incredible capacity for forgiveness could ever forgive John Kerry or Richard Nixon for that matter. Anyway, the show is called Our Nixon. It's been on for the past couple days, and it is a very insightful picture of that time period and Richard Nixon and all the guys around him. And John Kerry is just mentioned anecdotally, basically coming out as a traitor against his country and his fellow soldiers. Did I mention he's now the Secretary of State? Am I living in an alternate universe? Is up, down, is north, south? Everything seems to be completely confused. Now, I know Bob doesn't talk much about this whole Benghazi affair. So when he lets me sit in, I like to slip in some reports because I'm somewhat obsessed with the whole thing. Hey, have we ever shut down 22 embassies ever before? Ever? I don't recall us ever shutting down. I mean, unless they've actually been blown up, then we shut them down. I just don't recall this kind of global or this type of regional retreat. Very disconcerting. Anyway, another CNN report. What's up with me and CNN? I don't know. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, but I just take the news where I can find it. Jake Tapper has reported on CNN that there were actually dozens of CIA operatives on the ground in Benghazi September 11, 2012, when the consulate came under attack. And apparently the CIA is going to great lengths to make sure that whatever they were doing there remains a secret. One person interviewed told Greta Van Susteren that the Obama administration is actively hiding the survivors of the Benghazi assault, dispersing them around the country, and in some cases, even changing their names. So they've put them into the witness protection program so they can't tell the truth about what happened at Benghazi. And we know one thing. We know that four Americans were brutally killed in this military assault in Benghazi. But we don't know much else. This fella reports to Greta that, they're changing their names, creating aliases. These are people with firsthand knowledge of what happened that very night. He says this creates the appearance and perhaps the reality of a cover-up. Gee, you think? Maybe there might be a cover-up? Yeah. So Congress has not been allowed to talk with these people. Of course, the CIA says, no, 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 no. We sent out a letter. We told everybody, if you want to talk, go ahead and talk. You know, hate to see anything happen to your retirement. You know, but if you want to talk, please feel free. Go ahead and talk. Okay. So that's our update on the phony scandal. Phony Benghazi scandal. We want to update that. Okay, so I want to go now to the science really file. Bob does a lot of science. So I know if you're tuning in, you probably want to hear something scientific. And I'm not nearly as sophisticated as is Pastor Enyart when it comes to science. He's like a walking encyclopedia. I, on the other hand, am a mere layman. But I found this story to be very encouraging. Results published in the Cell Regeneration Journal have shown, now brace yourselves, that urine can be used as a source of stem cells, and that those stem cells in an experiment were turned into teeth. I said teeth. Yeah, they get the stem cells. I'm not sure how they get it out of the urine, but they get it. And they coax the cells into becoming teeth-like. The stem cells come from the lining of the body's waterworks, and they're harvested in the laboratory and then coaxed into being stem cells. Researchers say that this experiment, which I believe was with mice, yeah, it was in mice, and they grew from a petri dish of urine, for lack of a more scientific analysis. They grew tooth-like structures that contained dental pulp, dentin, enamel space, and enamel organ. So all the elements of teeth were there from urine. Yeah. Now, there's a professor from the University College in London. He says this is a really neat study. But as a matter of fact, urine, human urine, is a very poor starting point, he said, which I would assume. I mean, if I were looking for stem cells and I'm not even a scientist, probably the last place I would start looking is the urine. I'd go to some other area of the body that was just easier to work with, I think. But apparently, even in urine, there's enough of these regenerative cells to do some pretty amazing things. And this scientist, this professor from the University College in London, says it's probably one of the worst sources. There are very few cells in urine in the first place, and the efficiency of turning them into cells is very low. He says, you just really wouldn't do it this way, at least not in my lab. But folks, if we can get this from a petri dish full of pee, I mean, perhaps these pluripotent cells that are, they're called stem cells, but they're not. They're not really stem cells in that they can be anything, but they're pluripotent adult. I know the word, but it's escaping me at the moment. Anyway, they can be coaxed into growing new tissue. But imagine how many we must have of these in our body and how encouraging it is as science goes forward to try to cure disease and to improve our lot in life that these adult stem cells have this incredible potential. Now, fetal stem cell research is not only a damnable evil, but it's devouring resources and taking them away from adult stem cell therapies that are producing real results right now. And I guess that's all I've got to say about that because we're running out of time. Okay, folks, I'm Doug McBurney. Bob will be back on Thursday with Theology Thursday. And until then, I want to remind you all to go to avoiceforbrady.com. That's avoiceforbrady.com and do right and risk the consequences.